This is an employee determination is a legal question properly decided by the court and not by a jury.
Let me ask you this. The last panel said it was a question of fact. Why isn't that the law of this case?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the answer to that question is that we were here previously on a 12B6 motion, and that meant prior to any discovery. Now, some affidavits got attached to that, to the response, and so that I think the first panel treated it as a summary judgment at the end. But there's substantially different standards and substantially different evidence presented to the court, and we believe that that, in this, under the circumstances, would not be law of the case because we submit substantially different evidence before any evidence actually was submitted to the district court.
Would you agree that if at one point it's a question of law, a fact, there's a fact question, it's hard for you to make the argument that this is always going to be a question of law? If your argument now is this is always a question of law, if it was always a question of law, how was the first panel able to decide that it was a fact question presented? Even if the circumstances have changed, even if you're correct about that, how do you get to the position that you're now taking that in this case, that whether this was done part of his official duties, that it's always going to be a question of law?
Well, I think that, of course, we're relying on Garcetti and this court's previous analysis, and in particular, we've relied on Charles versus Grief, where a trial court had suggested that it was an issue of fact for juries, and this court specifically rejected that notion.
What would you do if you had a situation? Let's take this case, and for the evidence about what official duties were, you had two lieutenants, and one lieutenant says, it's the official duty to make these reports. And the other lieutenant says, no, it's not a duty. Under your view, we would have to make that decision of the facts and make the conclusion of law as a matter of law, and you couldn't have a material fact issue as to whether something is an official duty or not.
Well, I think that under circumstances like that, we'd have to, of course, look at the totality of the facts presented. For example, in this case, we not only have the sergeant saying that it was their job duty, we have a operation and procedures manual that says it was their duty to report misconduct. I think the bigger problem with allowing juries to decide that issue is, number one, we would effectively destroy any qualified immunity defense in public employee speech cases.
Well, let me pick you up on that. The claim here, as I understand it, is that these individuals were retaliated against for reporting. And you argue Garcetti and said, well, they had a duty to report. What do you say to the reality that those things cannot lie side by side? In other words, if a trier of the fact found that you did retaliate for those reasons, I mean, the jury found that, how can you maintain that you had a policy, but then you retaliated for conforming to that policy? In other words, you don't have a policy to report. If you fire somebody for reporting, it becomes a sham. So that there really is one question here. Were these people fired because they reported? To me, that bears on this fact question, because it – anyway, I'll subside to that point and get your thoughts about that.
Well, If I understood you correctly, Your Honor, that is the type of difficult balancing that I think is a court needs to do rather than having juries do it.
What do we balance out in answering the question of whether or not you fired them because they're reporting? Yeah, that strikes me as a straightforward fact question for a jury. When you just putting aside all the other background I've just given you, said, okay, is it a fact question, Mr. Lacy, as to whether or not the sheriff fired these people because they reported? Is there a fact? I don't ensure there's an issue about that, but at best for you, it would be at least a fact question.
Under the scenario that you've described, if the speech has been determined to be protected, then yes, the answer to that would be that's a fact question for a jury to decide whether they were fired and motivated by the report, but only if the speech was protected. And this claim comes under a First Amendment claim only. So once the court determines that the speech is protected, then I think it's properly left for juries to decide.
But how the index to whether it's covered, whether it's protected or not, under Garcetta, is whether it was responsive to the duty. Now, in Garcetta, the lawyer involved with that search warrant virtually conceitedly was doing his job, and it was part of his duties. And the whole purpose of this thing is his duty in trying to put all those workplace things out back in the workplace and get them out of the courthouse.
Yes, Your Honor. And I think similarly in this case, if you look at some of the summary judgment evidence that's presented, our jailers admitted that it was their duty. In fact, they admitted in the record at 566 they were on duty in uniform. They admitted at 567 they were ordered by their captain to make the report. In the record at 561 they admitted that the report was made based on an event witnessed in their capacity as jailers and it was part of their job duties. And most importantly, the sergeant on duty admitted that it is a jailer's job responsibility to write incident reports, and in particular, when there's a case like this and an allegation of inmate abuse, that department regulations require writing the report. And so in that context, I think we fit the Garcetti case perfectly.
Well, don't you have conflicting evidence that they really didn't expect him to do it? They may have mouthed those words, but they really didn't expect the report to be made.
Yes, Your Honor. There is conflicting evidence throughout this. Now, I would start back in the record at page, 110. The plaintiffs had first argued that department regulations required it, writing the report. Subsequently, Garcetti drops, and they changed their minds at that time, submitted affidavits stating, no, we didn't know we were supposed to do that. Then they got past that stage, but in deposition and under oath, they admitted the factors that I just told you.
But there's another layer on this, though. I thought the last layer on this, and I have no reason to disagree with you about their changing stories, but I thought the last layer on the fact that was really they didn't have a duty in the sense that if you did report it, you would get fired. Now, usually you think of duty as an obligation, and if you don't fulfill your obligation, there are consequences. But so how can, if the consequences come here, in other words, there's no consequences if you don't, according to their latest story, if you don't report it. There's only consequences if you do report it.
Yes, sir.
Why is the district judge saying, well, I've got to question whether there was an obligation or a duty here, because it sounds like the rules say they're supposed to report it, but unofficially you don't do it. It's not really an obligation because you get punished for doing what you're supposed to do instead of what you're not supposed to do.
Yes, Your Honor, and I understand they've made that argument, but that argument is based on approximately 11 citations to Alice Cox, which is another case that's handled by counsel opposite. Now, their subjective belief as to why she was terminated really shouldn't be part of this analysis, because the truth of the matter is a state agency in that case determined she was fired for cause for filing a false report. So that's a wholly different scenario. And
the sheriff would be perfectly within his rights, as far as the First Amendment is concerned, to fire an employee who performed according to the duties, but did it poorly or screwed it up. So that's the license you get, the protect exemption from the First Amendment. Courts don't do that. That's workplace business. Inefficient employees, poor employees, fire them. And they can't come back and make a First Amendment argument because Garcetti teaches it part of their duty. However, if you fire them for following your policy, I'm suggesting that, then it's hard to say to me that there's not at least a fact question as to whether you have a policy of reporting that. And unless you're going to say that having a paper set up, here are our formal rules and so on and so forth, wink, wink, that would be what you would be tolerating. That's the difficulty I'm having, and I just won't be straightforward with it.
Yes, Your Honor. And I understand the difficulty. However, I think that the Garcetti's opinion, this court's previous analysis of the Garcetti, and the issues that the district court needed to analyze in this case, it's clear there was a policy. They admitted it was their job duties. They received a direct order from a captain to write the report and give it to the chief jailer. And anyone with military experience or in a paramilitary organization
why were they terminated?
They were terminated because they were sleeping on the job.
Well, that's a fact question, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, that would be a fact question if they have First Amendment protection to begin with. If they don't have First Amendment protection, this case shouldn't go forward.
Let me ask you again. I mean, the first panel said that it's a question of fact. So doesn't that decide the legal question that there can be a question of fact over whether it's within their official policy?
Well, Your Honor, that considering the cases in Charles versus Grief, Dixon versus City of Houston, Davis versus McKinney, and the first panel's decision, I would defer to.
I mean, we're entitled to disagree with a decision, though, that's been made in this case. I'm not talking about precedent.
Okay, I understand, Your Honor. I think under that circumstance, then what we have to look at is that this was brought in the context of a qualified immunity motion rather than a 12B6, and rather than just analyzing the factual the allegations is true, we have to look at the summary judgment evidence and have the court make that determination.
Is this a case where there's been limited discovery because of the qualified immunity question?
No, Your Honor. Once this case was sent back, there was full discovery.
Okay, so these allegations of other people being fired for making reports, that's all been discovered, or the plaintiff has had the opportunity to find out whether that was true or not?
Yes, they have, and I just recently run summary judgment again in that case. But again, it's only one instance. They refer to Alice Cox, and other than that, there's no evidence of any type of activity like that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Lacy. You have some time left for rebuttal. Mr. Wade?
Hey, police court. Your Honor, first, the reference to Alice Cox as being the only basis for our claim that this was their policy is just wrong. We've probably got four or five incidents where during depositions people testified about being ordered to fabricate reports, to cover up beatings, to hide the fact drugs were being slipped into jail. The evidence established overwhelmingly that there was not, in fact.
How is that still not an official duty? Let's say I'm in the military and I have a duty to do something and I don't do it because I'm afraid my captain or my CEO, my commanding officer, is going to reprimand me. If something's my duty, isn't it my duty to do it regardless of whether I get reprimanded or not?
Yes. Well, Your Honor, here's the dichotomy that I believe the record has established. I think these jailers did recognize that their lawful duty, what they really should do, what is really lawful, what is really right, what's the right thing to do, what's the lawful thing to do is to report illegal activity. But the dichotomy was that, in fact, the true things, the way things really operate around
here. If you do the right thing, you get fired.
If you do the right thing, you get fired. Yes, sir. That's the dichotomy. So when he says he can support in the records, Your Honor, that they have this policy to report illegal conduct. Well, improper conduct, I believe is the wording. Here it is, policy, report, improper conduct. And when those jailers are asked in their depositions, well, don't you think it's your job to report this illegal activity? Well, yes, we do. But on the other hand, we know what happened to Ms. Cox. It's just been 2 months ago. Same officer, Winters, was beating somebody. She reported it. They accused her of lying about it and fired her. Just happened to her. And then Ms. Hambrick said, my husband got involved in an altercation, and he testified about this, where he hit a prisoner, and he gave a truthful report. I hit that prisoner with my fist. And this same jailer, Atkinson, went back and said, you better get your story right, change the story.
Is
you
this
accidentally.
Same jailer? Story?
Same jailer. Same jailer.
And
as far as I know, he is, Your Honor. So the question is, what is the real policy, and then what should be done? What is the right thing? Your Honor, if a court should get to the legal question in this case, they maintain Your Honor should decide as a matter of law, is this speech protected? I don't agree Your Honor should get to that. I think it's already been decided that there are issues of fact. But if Your Honor should get to that issue as a matter of law, are jailers acting as citizens or as employees when they go report a crime? I believe that Your Honors should not extend Garcetti that far to say that a jailer can be lawfully fired because he goes to report a crime. Nobody argued in Garcetti that what we're talking about here is criminal conduct. We're just talking about a district attorney who's got an assistant who's not advocating for the DA, who's advocating for the other side. He wasn't doing his job. But the issue of whether he was doing his job was not even argued. They stipulated he was within the course and scope of his job. But, Your Honor, the well-established, entrenched, everybody knows about it. Common law rule is that it's the duty of every citizen, not just police officers, but every citizen to report a crime. And, Your Honor, I'd refer Your Honors to our original brief. We argued most of these points in our original briefs, but on our original brief in the 07 case on page 17, we cite all the authorities about how it is the common law duty of every citizen to report a crime. It's also the duty of law enforcement officers. In fact, the language says that.
There's also a criminal statute. Don't misprison of a felon.
Exactly right, Your Honor. And it's an especially strong...
Let me pick you up on one thing, not disagreeing with you, but the question, should you go back on to try this case, I think the fact question has another qualification to it, because the follow-on to Garcetti, the court instructed that in making these judgments, that it is the reasonable perception of the employer as to why it's what's going on. It doesn't change anything about this case, particularly other than that is a qualification that followed Garcetti, and I don't think it affects this case, but I do think it's significant in the way that you're going to try the case.
Yes.
But that is the court, in a series of steps, have qualified the access to the Pickering balance, and that's the one I've been.
Your Honor, regarding that balancing in Garcetti, and normally in these First Amendment cases, you're always balancing the right of the employer has some legitimate interest in efficiency of the workplace. But in Mississippi, there's the McGarn case, the Mississippi Supreme Court leading case in McGarn. It says that an employer cannot, under state law, and there is a state law claim in this case, cannot fire an employee for reporting illegal criminal activity.
It's kind of like the pilot exception in Texas, where you have an at-will state, but there are certain.
Yeah.
You can't fire people. You still have a claim for wrongful discharge, even in an at-will situation, if you discharge them for failing to do something that's illegal.
Yes. So in this case, Your Honor, Garcetti, like all the other cases, is talking about balancing the employer's interest in an efficient workplace. Well, any legitimate interest of the employer would be in stopping illegal criminal activity, any legitimate interest. So there's really no balancing to be done. Your Honor, in this case, The original panel did say that this is a fact question, what the extent of the duties. That's exactly what it said. And I noticed this case, I didn't get in our briefs, but there's a Fourth Circuit, 561 F3rd, 261 at 267. The question of whether the memorandum is written as part of official duties is a disputed issue of material fact. On that specific, what's the extent? I understand in Charles, is that speech protected or unprotected, legal question. But just the common sense question is, what's really being required of these officers? What are they really expected to do is a question of material fact. And
now,
the panel so held.
How would you frame what is going to go before the jury? Is the question going to be, were they fired? Are they going to have a question of whether was their official duty or not?
Your Honor,
because if we say there's a question as to whether it's official duty, it seems like that's something that should go to the jury. But it doesn't sound like that's what you want to go to the jury.
Your Honor, I believe the questions that would go to the jury of this is what was really expected. Were they really expected? Would the sheriff really expect them to report illegal conduct such that was part of their duties? And second is what caused them to be fired. Counsel correctly said there are voluminous depositions in there about why they were fired, and just to put it frankly and simply, their claim that they fired them for any reason other than reporting is just a bunch of junk. They fired them within 24 hours after this report, and all that discovery is in there with the hopes they came up with to give an excuse for firing them. But I don't believe there's any real reason they fired them other than reporting this, and no plausible claim could be made of that.
So you think you suggest that we should dismiss this appeal for want of jurisdiction?
Yes, sir. I think Your Honor should do that, but I also think it would be helpful. You know, there have been a world of cases on what does Garcetti mean, and I think it would really be helpful if the lower courts, the district courts, knew that Garcetti does not apply to reporting illegal criminal activity. That Garcetti didn't decide that.
Well, I'm not sure in answering the question of whether the employee is operating with it under a duty imposed by the employer, your argument would be, as I gather, that the predicate to that is it must be a lawful duty or obligation that the employer is imposing.
Yes, sir. I think so, but
in other words, you couldn't have a. Anyway, I think that I don't want to go off on that because I don't think it answered the question here, but anyway. I don't think we need to do much with Garcetti.
All right, Your Honor, I might mention this. There has been a comment on that line in a case called Fairley. It's also a recent case, 42F 3rd 897, at 902.
Are those in
which said that you can't.
In your brief?
I'm sorry, it's not, Your Honor. It just came out. I'll do a letter, if
right.
I might, Your Honor.
Please.
But reporting illegal criminal activity, anybody would know, according to this case, that you can't fire somebody for reporting criminal activity, and that's a post-Garcetti case.
Is that a state law claim, or is that a
no, sir, it's a
First Amendment claim.
It's a First Amendment claim.
Okay.
Fairly, the Fairmont. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wade. Mr. Lacey, back to you, sir.
Your Honors, I'm not sure that I have any rebuttal to Mr. Wade's presentation, and would ask the court if you have any questions you would like me to follow up on. I think the briefs speak for themselves at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right.